Hey everybody, I want to introduce my buddy who's manning the camera down there. That's my friend Ruth Miller, and we've been kind of partners in crime for a few years here fighting against illegal immigration. Anyway, my friend Ruth and I had been involved in fighting against illegal immigration for several years, and it never made any sense to us whatsoever why our government failed to secure our borders and failed to enforce our immigration laws, especially after 9/11. I mean, you'd think with that tragic event, what greater momentum or reason would there be to secure our borders and enforce our immigration laws than 9/11, but nothing happened. Well, I was in a conversation with a man last year who lived in the United Kingdom, and he said the word communitarian to me. And I said, well, gee, I don't know what that means. I've never heard that before. And he said, well, you need to look it up because we know all about it here in the European Union. And he said that we fall under what's known as supremacy of communitarian law. And he said, I can guarantee you that this is going on in the United States as well, and that you need to get in touch with this woman named Nikki Rapana, look her up. So I did, and I went to her website. This is a lady who lives up in Alaska, and she lives in a tent there. I'm telling you, the woman has a spine of granite. And she had actually lived in Seattle about a dozen years ago, and her landlord, she was in an apartment, he had approached her and asked her if she would be willing to help him fight the city was trying to take his properties. And she was into research and that, so she said sure she would. So she started to go to the city council meetings and the town council meetings, and she started to hear all these different terms that made no sense to her. And so she started to dig deeper, and she'd ask questions, and of course when she was there at these meetings, the elected officials would blow her off and try to intimidate her and try to shut her up, but she wasn't one of those individuals who was easily intimidated. So she kept digging and kept looking, and after several months she discovered that what the objective was that they were doing was to take away our property rights, and it was all part of this larger agenda, which is known as United Nations Agenda 21. It's also known as Sustainable Development. It's also known as Local Agenda 21, and it truly is the plan for one world government. George H.W. Bush, when he was president, he called it the New World Order. So for those of you who are thinking, oh, conspiracy, that kind of thing, and when you've heard those terms, you've always been told, oh, think conspiracy, nut job, tinfoil hat. I was trying to get Ruth one day to go with me to wear a tinfoil hat to the county commissioners, but she wouldn't do that, okay? Because she and I kept going and fighting with the Montgomery County commissioners to try to get them to stop this in the county, and of course they denigrated us. And they mocked us, and they laughed at us, and they said, oh, we're wearing tinfoil hats, so on and so forth. But Ruth and I don't think I have the audacity to live in a tent in Alaska, but we don't back down easily. So anyway, let's go with what our New World Order is going to look like. The Declaration of Independence, the United States Declaration of Independence, says that our rights are unalienable. And what that means is they come from God. Another man, a government, doesn't give you your rights. You were born with those rights. All men were created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, property, so on and so forth. The list goes on ad infinitum. It doesn't end. What these people think, who are pushing United Nations Agenda 21, well, the UN's Declaration of Human Rights says that rights and freedoms may in no way, in no case, be exercised contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations. So in other words, they'll decide what rights you have, and they will take them away at any moment they so desire. See, they don't believe that you were born with rights. They believe that they'll decide what rights you should have, that they know better than you. This truly is a global elitist mentality of people who think that they walk a step above you and that they know better than you what's good for you in your life. See, in our country, we've all been raised, most of us anyway, with the idea that we're free. and then we can make up our own minds what we want to do. That's not what these people are all about at all. They're going to grant your rights or restrict your rights according to whatever their agenda of the day happens to be. You and your labor belong to the community. You are now chattel. Agenda 21 is a global to local plan. What that means is it is happening throughout the world. There isn't a country you could go to where this agenda is not being implemented, and it is a global agenda being implemented on a local level. That's why I say to people when they ask me, well, how do you fight this? I tell them you need to fight it at a local level. You can spend all your time you want going down to D.C. on a bus, but you are wasting your time. You need to attack this at the root of it, and that is at the local level. This truly is an agenda, a global to local agenda. The United Nations defines sustainable development, which is also known as local agenda, also known as United Nations Agenda 21. It defines it as development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. So what does that mean? For all of you who've ever read George Orwell's 1984 and understand that mastery of the word and how words are interpreted mean everything. And for those of you who read Orwell's 1984, you remember that Orwell said that freedom was slavery and that war was peace. So what they mean here is that development today can't compromise the needs of future generations. So in other words, what they're saying is you can't have it today, because if you use it today, if you take a drink of water today, well, someday, somebody else may not have a drink of water, which of course is a lie, because water only changes form. It never goes away. In 1976, at the Habitat One conference that was held in British Columbia, they said that land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth. Therefore, it contributes to social injustice, and public control of land is therefore indispensable. See, in our country, property rights are unique throughout the world. Nowhere else in the world has the opportunity to own property. You could buy a piece of land today, have the title or deed by Friday, and you could generate wealth based on your ability to have property rights. They were unique throughout the world. That's the reason why the United States has been as prosperous and as great a nation as we've had, because George Washington understood that freedom and liberty and property rights go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. So they understand that the way that they are going to get America on its knees is by denying you the right to do what you want to do on your property. And when Diane was speaking and she mentioned the farmers out in the San Joaquin Valley of California, where they shut the water off to an area the size of Rhode Island to save that little minnow, and they didn't divert the water down to LA or San Diego so that the people could drink it, it's going out to the Pacific Ocean. So now, if the people were truly concerned about the environment and humanity, wouldn't they be putting that water to good use instead of just diverting it to go into the ocean? See, it's not about the environment. It's about power and control. It's about taking away your ability to use your land. And they are doing that by hook or crook. The United States support for Agenda 21. When George Bush Sr. was president, he went down to Rio de Janeiro for the Earth Summit that was held in 1992. And they signed on to United Nations Agenda 21. And what that means is the 21 stands for, this is the agenda for the 21st century. 178 nations signed on to this. And if all of you will recall, George Bush Sr. is a Republican. And then in 93, President Clinton, who of course was a Democrat, signed by executive order, he created the President's Council for Sustainable Development. And the goal of that was, when Bush signed on to it, he brought it back. It was infused throughout the federal government. And the President's Council for Sustainable Development was just a continuation of what George Bush had done, and just to help further it along to make sure that all of the departments were implementing the global agenda of United Nations Agenda 21. And so that was the purpose of the President's Council for Sustainable Development. In 1997, the counties and mayors created the Joint Center for Sustainable Communities. In 2001, the National Governors Association endorsed smart growth, and I'll tell you what smart growth is in a minute. You can switch. Oftentimes, you're going to see United Nations Agenda 21 described, seeing these three circles, and it consists of the environment, equity, which means social justice, and the economy. What the environment means now is that nature comes before man, that Mother Earth has the same rights as you, a human being. Therefore, your rights need to be sublimated to nature. What equity means is social justice. See, our country was founded on equal justice, equal rights for all, and that's why when you see a statue of justice, she wears a mask, so that because she wears a blindfold, because justice is to be blind, that what applies to you will apply to you, and it'll apply to you whether you have your youthful ring through your nose or you don't, it won't matter, okay? That's what it's supposed to be about. Social justice picks out some groups, and they're more equal than others. Like for those of you who've read George Orwell's Animal Farm, where some animals were more equal than others, well, that's what social justice is about. It's not about equal justice so that everybody gets a fair shake. It's about picking winners and losers. And I want to read something to you from a fellow that I had on my radio show, and he actually had grown up in the USSR, and he'd written a book entitled Shakedown Socialism, and he's really, really bright. If you ever want to read a great book, get his book. But this is how he defines social justice. Social justice can be defined as the system of justice predicated on the central dispensation of rights to various groups at various times. These rights are granted or denied in accordance with the policies and procedures thought necessary to advance the central authority's latest iteration of common good and fairness. If some people had wings and others didn't, and the government wanted to enforce fairness, soon no one would have wings. Because wings cannot be redistributed, they can only be broken. Likewise, a government edict cannot make people smarter or more capable, but it can impede the growth of those with the potential. See, this is an aspect of this UN Agenda 21. Our school system today doesn't look to make people the best and the brightest that they can possibly be. It looks to equalize everything to the lowest common denominator, because we're not interested in teaching people to think. We're interested in indoctrinating them to be good global citizens. And good global citizens can't be taught to question things. They can only be taught to just go along with the flow. Social justice is progressive taxation, income redistribution, property redistribution, equality of opportunity, and equality of outcome. See, now some people are born on one side of the tracks and some people are born on the other. That's just life. John's very, very bright, much smarter than me. I'm a better talker than he is. That's just life. Some people have blonde hair. Some people excel at sports. That's just life. Fair? I don't know. But it is what it is. Because in human nature, in nature, not everyone is equal. We are all equally human, but we are not all equally endowed with the same skills and abilities. That's just life. You can't fix that. You can't correct for that, because it's supposed to be the way it is. That's human nature. That's Mother Nature. the economy. What they're going to do and what they are doing is the redistribution of the wealth of the United States out of this country. I grew up in a blue-collar town, heavy industry, all kinds of industry. Blue-collar workers, lots of jobs. I remember in the 60s when I was a kid, the steel plant employed over 23,000 men. Today, it doesn't. It's gone. They raised the buildings. And that is replicated throughout the country. All our so-called free trade policies that were enacted that, who was it, Ross Perot said that once they were enacted, you would hear a sucking sound out of this country of the good jobs. Well, right. Happened, didn't it? Was a fact. Because they have redistributed our good jobs out of this country into third world nations. And it isn't about bringing those people in China or Mexico up to an American standard of living because they work for pennies on the dollar. It's all about power and control. They are replacing in this country free enterprise with public-private partnerships. And if you remember Mussolini and fascism, fascism is some corporations partner with the government and they get to go to sit at the head of the table and others are on the outside looking in. See, it's not truly a free enterprise system where the best mousetrap maker wins and he gets all the business and all of his competitors naturally fall by the wayside because they're not able to compete on a level playing field. What this is picking the groups, the corporations, that will get in bed with the government to push this agenda. They will be the golden hair child, and everybody else will be on the outside looking in, and they'll just drop by the wayside. That's fascism. Mussolini did it. Hitler did it. It's not what our country is founded on at all. In 1998, the Seattle city planner Gary Lawrence, who was an advisor to the President's Council for Sustainable Development, said that participating in a UN-advocated planning process would bring out those who would actively work to defeat any elected official. So we call it something else. Smart growth, comprehensive planning, growth management. These are some of the terms that I'm sure many of you have seen and heard and read and wondered, well, they sound good. Doesn't affordable housing sound good? Quality of life. Well, we all want a better quality of life, right? Social justice for the benefit of all. The best management practices. Well, that makes sense, right? That we devise the best way to manage what's going on. Well, who decides that? Is it you? Is it me? Or is it somebody else decides what's best for you? Our educational system is loaded with all of sustainable development. Doesn't matter whether you're taking your French course, or a geography course, or a math course. Sustainable development education has been infused from pre-K up to the PhD level. And it is involved in every single aspect of the educational system. From 2005 to 2010, or 2015 rather, was to be the decade for sustainable development education. See, when you go to a cashier and you wonder why she can't make change, and they haven't been able to make change for a long, long time, have they? It's not because something in our DNA has changed. What's changed is the curriculum. See, they have been deliberately dumbing down America for about at least 100 years. I've had people on my radio show. I had a woman on my radio show, Charlotte Thompson Iserby, who worked for Reagan in his first term in the Department of Education. And she had written a book entitled The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And she cites citation after citation of what she discovered when she was in the Department of Education, how they have been deliberately not trying to elevate kids and people so that they can be the best, be all you can be. That's not what they want at all. All the different No Child Left Behind, School to Work, Outcome-Based Education, Goals 2000, Race to the Top, all those different little terms, little names for what they claim they're teaching kids and it's going to be better in a charter school. Some people think that's the answer. I say to everybody, the best thing you can do for your kids or your grandchildren is pull them out of public schools, pull them out of the charter schools, and educate them at home, because the educational system, the curriculum, no matter where they're at, is driven by the Department of Education, and this curriculum for educating for sustainable development is infused throughout all of the textbooks that these children read from or are taught from. Maurice Strong, who was the former Undersecretary of the United Nations, had said that current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class are not sustainable. So what something is when it's not sustainable, what that means is you no longer will be allowed to have it. So these are some of the things that they have deemed are not sustainable. Your single family, suburban home, meat, refrigeration, use of fossil fuels, appliances, cars, home and workplace, air conditioning, pavement. Those are just some of the things that are not sustainable as far as these people are concerned. So think what life will be like without the accoutrements of a 21st century standard of living, the standard of living that excels above all others, the reason why the United States has been the magnet that it has been for people to come here from all over the world. What's life going to be like without all those things? The way that they are going to implement this, This is a map that a gentleman named Dr. Michael Kaufman that I had on my radio show, he had created this map. He had analyzed all of the different documents he could get his hands on and extrapolated out of that information what he believed this country would look like once they succeed and they reach their end game of the implementation of UN Agenda 21 in this country. And I want to tell you that they are much closer to the end game than they are to the beginning. We're very late in the game here, and I use the analogy that Cinderella, the pumpkin, the carriage that she's in, is about ready to turn back into a pumpkin. It's late in the game. It's like a second to midnight. What the Wildlands Project is in red here is where he figured that the Wildlands Network would be. And what that is they want at least 50% of the landmass in this country to revert to what they call the wild lands, and in there no human activity will be allowed. You won't be allowed to go there. And around that wild lands area of at least 50% of the landmass of the United States will be what they call a buffer zone. And in that buffer zone they're only going to allow limited human activity. Now, that can encompass anywhere from 10 to 30% of the land mass. So, if that was to leave us 20% of the land mass, that's where human beings will be allowed to live in what they call urban growth boundaries, or human settlements, or they also call them utility service areas. See, they call them urban growth boundaries first, but the word boundary implied a restriction, and so that made people a little upset. So they changed it to utility service area. And what that means is outside of this boundary, no utilities will be provided. There will be no water, there'll be no electricity, there'll be no sewer, there'll be no cable, there'll be no phone, there'll be no nothing. You're going to be living in what these urban growth boundaries will be these so-called smart growth cities. How many people here ever heard the term smart growth? Well, what you're going to be living in is a totally controlled environment. You're going to be eating food that was grown within a 100-mile radius of this city that you're going to be residing in, because they're going to be driving you off your land. You're not going to be living in suburbia in your single-family home with your air conditioning, eating a roast or a hamburger whenever you want it, and drinking as much water as you'd like, and taking a bath whenever you want. You're going to be living in these so-called sustainable communities, and you will get your food from what they call the food shed. And so the food shed is a 100-mile radius around this so-called smart growth city, where all of the food, the fiber, like the clothes on your back, air and water, that's where you're going to get it all from. It'll all have to come and be recycled in this community. Everything you eat and everything you give off will all have to stay in this food shed. And in this food shed, they won't be allowing you to use any pesticides to maybe kill the bugs that are eating your tomato plants. And they won't let you use any unnatural fertilizer, so it's just going to be manure all the way. You won't be able to use any industrial farming methods like a tractor, so somebody's going to be the horse here pulling the plow. You're going to be using a hoe. There will be limits on imported food. They're only going to allow you what they deem to be reasonable access to water. And what they've decided is the reasonable amount of water that you should be allowed to have in a day is 5 gallons of water a day, and it shouldn't take you more than traveling 1,000 meters to retrieve this 5 gallons of water that you'll be allowed to use a day. Now, the average American uses about 125 gallons of water a day. So, think about it. Picture 5 gallons of Clorox. Well, you're going to drink about one of those gallons of water. And so then it's going to leave the other 4 for you to bathe, for you to cook, for you to clean, and whatever else you can think of to do with all the water you're going to have left over. The people who are going to control this, of course, will be what they call the stakeholders. They're the ones who know better than you. This is all like a Soviet system. If you remember, the USSR was a system of Soviets. These weren't elected people that ran the game. These were the appointed people, and they were in charge, and they decided what happened in their little region. These stakeholders will control all production. And if the people don't want to go along with it very well, we'll just remember what happened in the Ukraine when Stalin was in power, and 11 million people alone from the Ukraine, which was the breadbasket for the USSR, they were starved to death because they didn't go along with the program. How many people were murdered in the last century at the hands of their government because they objected to what they were doing? Exactly. About 170 million people in the last century. How they're going to help implement this program is through ICLEI. And ICLEI is also known as Local Governments for Sustainability. ICLEI is the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. And what they are supposed to do, they kind of, for example, in Montgomery County, where Ruth and I both live, the county had signed a contract with ICLEI, because ICLEI came along and they said, well, we've got this wonderful software that'll help measure your carbon footprint, and don't you want to know what that is? And so, of course, you know, green is the mantra we hear today, right? You know, and carbon is a bad thing, don't breathe out. And so they signed on to it. Well, what happens when they sign on to it is they get what we call a green print. It's like a blueprint for how to do everything, from blow your nose to pick your toes to whatever it is. They have the green print, the blueprint, for how everything's going to be, from zoning to housing to road building to land use to water use to the whole nine yards. And so what these policies that ICLEI provides for, and it's throughout the entire country, whether or not your town signed a contract with ICLEI doesn't matter, because this program has been infused throughout the federal government. It's in the state governments. I'm telling you, there's not a town you could find, you could look up if you did a Google search of smart growth or ICLEI or sustainability or visioning, that you wouldn't find this program being implemented. Whether you are aware of it or not, it's been going on. So you're going to live in stack and pack housing in these smart growth cities. So that'll be about maybe an 800 square foot apartment you'll be living in. what happens with these policies is they create traffic congestion because the goal is to get you out of your car. So they're going to make life as miserable as they possibly can for you to achieve that objective. That's a reason why 422 isn't any wider, or that the Schuylkill isn't any wider to accommodate the amount of traffic that flows there. Common sense would say we should be widening these highways to make traffic flow ease through there. But it's not being done because they want to manipulate you into getting out of your car and getting on light rail. Because, see, their goal is you will live, work, and play within a four-block radius of your house. You're going to live in mixed-use housing where there will be some retail on the bottom. Then there'll be some apartments on the next few floors. And then office space will be above that, where all you have to do is go down to the first floor to get your whatever, and then up to work on the seventh floor. And you can live in your little apartment without your air conditioning, without me, with your 5 gallons of water in the middle. The light rail that's being pushed throughout the country, the reason they're pushing that is their goal is to push you out of your car onto mass transit. That's why you see bike paths being built everywhere. That's why you see the emphasis on public transportation. In fact, they recently rebuilt South Street, the South Street Bridge in Philadelphia. And I remember reading in the paper there, the person who had written the article described how wonderful it was. It was just like this pool of water you could see of the pavement in that. And on some spots on South Street, well, they eliminated the turning lane because they don't want it to be easy for you to get on and off the bridge. And on some spots, it's 18 feet wide for the bicycle paths and the walking paths. See, they want to accommodate walkers and bicyclists. And I don't know, how much do you want to walk today to go to the grocery store? You want to ride your bike? When's the last time you rode your bike? Yeah, exactly. So this is their goal. They're going to manipulate you. They are making, everyone loves open space, right? Well, it's all about open space. Oh, we have no more open space. How many of you have been in a plane and flown from here to the West Coast? What do you see when you look out? Nothing, exactly. Because about 6% of the country is actually occupied, the rest is open. They are using this scare of what we're running out of open space to convince people that they need to go along with these programs. You're finding that a lot of the land that's already been reserved, national parks, and that they're making it as inaccessible as possible. They're closing roads to vehicle traffic. You can only ride a bike, or you can only walk, or you can't ride your four-wheeler in there if you want to. I had a lady on my show who's out in Colorado, and one of the parks that she went to, they actually wanted your social security number before you'd be allowed to go for a walk in the park. And then on the sign, it also said they told you what the restrictions were once you walked through that park, and you were not allowed to touch anything. So in other words, if you picked up that stick that was down there because you felt like throwing a stick, you can't do that. If you wanted to kick a rock that you saw on the ground as you walked through, you can't do that. So think about it. What will life really be like for you? They want total control of our lives. McDonald's in San Francisco, and I know everybody thinks, they're nuts, that's just California. Well, I have news for you. It's not just California. A lot of this stuff may rear its ugly head and become evident in California first, but it is all sweeping across the land. So in California, they've got some buildings where they build them where the elevator only stops at every other floor because they want you to walk. So if you're using crutches or you're in a wheelchair, how's that going to work out? They want to control McDonald's. You can't have McDonald's in the cities. Right now you hear, in the poor neighborhoods, the fast food chains are there and they're just exploiting the people. How about the people are the fast food chains are there because the people eat the product that they're serving. Don't you think people have enough common sense to be able to figure out what they want to eat on a daily basis? And isn't it our right in this country, people who were born with unalienable rights to make up our own mind, isn't it your right whether or not you want to eat a Big Mac or you don't? It isn't the government's job to tell you what you can eat. How about in New York City where they're controlling the salt and Mayor Bloomberg wants to outlaw salt? But they These are the types of control measures that are happening throughout the country. They don't want you to be able to have what you want to have. How's that food that you're eating? Looks pretty good to me. Okay, see, and guess what? That would be outlawed, what you're eating. Couldn't have it. And you wonder, why is that? You know, these fires just burn uncontrollably because they will not allow people to cut the brush that is the fuel for the fires out there because they're not interested in the environment. They don't care about the animals that die in these forest fires. This is about control. They want it to burn because they want you off your land. Some people out there were not allowed, after their house burned down, they weren't given a permit to rebuild.
They were not.
Agenda 21 wants to abolish your private property. This is key, and I mentioned this right in the beginning. Private property is what has afforded you the opportunity to generate wealth. You could have a house and have a little equity in it and use that equity to buy a second house, or you could buy a hot dog cart and you could generate a little more income, and maybe you moved to a bigger house, or you drove a better car, or you did whatever you wanted to do, or you paid off a student loan. I did that. I took out a home equity loan to pay off my student loan from when I was screwing around in law school. My choice. But that's what I wanted to do. They won't let you do that because you won't have any private property. Private property and your right to do what you want to do on your property will be abolished. They want all nations subject to international economic regulation and law. They will institute governance, not government. And there's a difference. Note the spelling. Governance is the framework and practices that limit behavior and set limits. It's not a small government where we elect the people and they do what we want them to do. Governance is they'll decide for you what you're going to be allowed to do. It's an entirely different thing. Loss of national sovereignty. We are sovereign individuals who live in a sovereign state, in a sovereign nation. What will happen with this is that the United States and all of the citizens therein will become subjects of the United Nations. See, our founding fathers, when they threw off the yoke of King George, they were sovereigns. They were not subjects. They were free men. That's what we are, exactly. But that's not what we're going to be if this continues. They want global ownership of natural resources because they don't want you to be able to make a buck off. You could own land out in Colorado and there could be minerals under the ground that you wanted to mine so you could make a buck off of them. They won't give you the permit to do it. They want to decrease the world's population by 85%, 80 to 85%. Now, think about that. How will they do those different kinds of things? Well, let's see. They want to take over all of our vitamins and our natural supplements. When Bill Gates was at a TED meeting, which is Technology, Entertainment, and Design, I think the D stands for, he was talking about how if they worked really hard with their vaccines, they would be able to decrease the world's population by 10 to 15%. Now, my background is healthcare, and I can tell you that vaccines were never designed historically to decrease population. They were designed to prevent disease. So what is it they're going to do in manipulating these vaccines that will decrease the population?
Cancer viruses.
If you look at this healthcare bill that was passed, and if you remember, and I know a lot of people are aware of Rahm Emanuel's brother, Ezekiel Emanuel, who's a physician, and he created this complete lives system theory, where if you had a continuum of care from, say, birth to age 15, you would receive very little care because you were not a productive contributing member of society. From, say, age 15 to about 40, 45, that's when you would receive the most healthcare resources because that's when they considered you to be the most viable contributing member of society. And then from age 45 on down on this continuum of care from birth to death, you would receive decreasing amounts of health care because you're no longer a contributing member. So, I mean, if you think about the Hollywood movies, what was it, Logan's Run at age 30?
Yep.
That was the end of the game for you. So if your goal is to decrease the world's population by 80 to 85%, and you control access to health care services, and everybody, of course, they can claim, well, oh, everybody will have health care. No, everybody will have health care insurance. But that doesn't mean just because you have a card, you're going to get any care. Their educational objective is to train global citizens. As I mentioned before, I've had a couple people on my show talking about the educational system and how it is rooted in sustainable development education. It isn't about educating people to be able to think and question. It's about educating people to be sheep, to go along unquestioningly with this global mandate. They want to replace Judeo-Christian values with pantheism. That is earth above man, mother nature above man. That's why there's been such a concerted effort for decades now to break the bonds that hold people together. If you go back to Johnson's Great Society, and what, about 1965, where they came up with this wonderful, wonderful plan for a great society, and you look at some of the aspects of that plan. Well, let's see. Now, if you were going to be able to get welfare, one of the requirements is there couldn't be a man in the house. So, what's the result of that? Well, let's see. We've got in the black community, 70% of the kids are born out of wedlock without a father. 50% of the kids in the Hispanic community and 40% of the babies in the white community are born to single mothers without a father. See, because they replaced the man. They've so systematically broken down the family unit in this country that has been what has kept people together. There hasn't been a mother and father anymore. There's just a single mother. And they went after in the 70s, when you remember the women's lib movement and burning of the bra, if you wanted to stay home and have a family and raise kids and bake chocolate chip cookies, there was something wrong with you. That's what they did. They made young women feel like there was something abnormal. You didn't fit in. If that's what you wanted to do, if you wanted that traditional family value and unit, and they've successfully done that, because today that's what we have. Most of the kids are born out of wedlock. They're not born to a mother and father, a husband and wife. They have broken the bonds. Look at, in this country, you can't put a cross up. You know, they want to make sure you can't mention God, you can't mention Jesus, you can't mention anything. Or they're going to take you out to the woodshed. The reason why is because the bonds that hold people together, the fabric of a society, is based on the family unit. It is based on, our country is based on Christian values, that there is a being greater than us. And they need to sever the things that have connected us historically in order for them to be successful. They need to sever the bonds. And they have done that. They want to disarm all the citizens. And as I mentioned before, 170 million people died in the last century. Pol Pot, Hitler, Stalin, Lenin, Mao Zedong. The first thing those dictators did was disarm the people. Because who was the admiral in World War II who said that he would never invade America by land because there would be an American with a gun behind every blade of grass? See, they knew that. And they know that the American people are well armed and they are going to do whatever they can do. And Diane mentioned something Hillary Clinton is up to at the United Nations, a small arms treaty, to take your right to defend yourself away. See, the Second Amendment wasn't about killing Bambi. The Second Amendment was put in there because the Founding Fathers understood, having lived under a tyrant, King George, they understood how critical it was that you were able to defend yourself and fight back. That's why it was put in there, to be able to throw off the bonds
chains.
Thank you. The chains of an out-of-control, tyrannical government that seeks to enslave you. They want the UN's control of the military. And that will happen. Look at, I think in some of the war fronts we're in right now, we're all over the place. This is like George Orwell's 1984, where there's endless wars. We've been at war for, what, 10 years? And if for any of you who've read George Orwell's 1984, you know, the enemy today was, what, Eurasia, then it was East Asia, then it was Oceania. I mean, the enemy changed. It was the enemy du jour. The environmental game. This is how they succeed at taking away a lot of the land. The Wall Street Journal in 2001 called it rural cleansing because they are like an animal hunting and they're going to pick off the low-hanging fruit first. So if you're a predatory animal and you're going after a pack of animals, you don't go to the leader of the pack. You're going to pick off the stragglers, the crippled, the lame, the sick, the slow ones. And so they're going out in the rural areas of this country and they're picking off those people first. 15 years ago, there were over 1 million ranchers in this country. Today, there are less than 500,000. Why? Because they've told them that they can't graze their cattle over here because they might step on the prairie grass, or they can't let their cattle go over there because they have to save the prairie dog, or they can't allow their cattle to go within 300 feet of a creek that runs through their property so that the cattle can get a drink. So if you're a cattle rancher, and you have cattle and they can't graze, they can't eat, they can't drink, how long do you stay in business?
5 seconds.
Exactly, 5 seconds. They are driving people off their land throughout the whole country. The Sierra Club, World Wildlife Fund, Nature Conservancy, Audubon Society, all of those wonderful groups that I used to donate money to because I thought, oh, they're doing a really good thing. I love the animals. I love the World Wildlife Fund. I get their calendars and all that crap. Little did I know, truly, little did I know all these years that I've been sending them my shekels that they were involved in this environmental game because it is a con. Global warming is a hoax, but they are using the environment as the vehicle to push their agenda. So what'll happen is you're that rancher, you've now got land, it has no value to you, you can't graze your cattle on it, and so, or you're that farmer out in the San Joaquin Valley of California where they shut your water off, now you can't grow anything because they wanted to save the little minnow. So these World Wildlife Funds, Nature Conservancy, these different non-governmental organizations, and what that means is they're accredited and working with the United Nations, they'll come to you and they'll say, well, gee, Farmer Jen, let's see, your land, when you could grow stuff, was worth, say, $30,000 an acre. But now it's just fallow. It's just dirt. It's now a dust bowl. I know you're desperate for money, so I'll make you a deal. I'll give you $500 for each acre of land. Of course, you're this farmer who can't grow anything now. You're SOL. The unemployment rate in the San Joaquin Valley is 40%, so nobody else is offering. You need money, you're going to take that deal. So the Sierra Club then will take, buy Farmer John's land, and then they're going to sell it to the U.S. government where our tax dollars will then pay them the $30,000 that the land per acre was originally worth when you could grow something. And the Sierra Club will grab that money and they'll do that over and over and over again. See, there's something called the Equal Access to Justice Act. And so what happens is that the government, of course, anybody who goes to the motor vehicle department realizes that the government, you know, we don't do everything very well here. It's not the most efficient system. So they can always find somewhere where the government's not following their own rules. So what happens as well is that a lot of these non-governmental organizations like the Sierra Club or World Wildlife Fund will then go and sue the government for not enforcing its own environmental rules. So then they're making out like bandits as well. So for example, between 2003 and 2005, the U.S. Forest Service, that's just the U.S. Forest Service, paid out over $1 billion to these scam artists who call themselves the World Wildlife Fund and Sierra Club. The Nature Conservancy has in its coffers $3.5 billion. Think about that. A lot of the things that they do is they'll go to a farmer and they'll say, well, how about this? Let's put a conservation easement. I know you're into open space, right? So you've got 5 acres. let's put a conservation easement on 4 of the 5 acres and we'll pay you, whatever, $20,000. Well, you think I'm into open space. I want my grandchildren to have open space because the sky is falling. We're running out of open space. They've told us that, right? And you don't think about when you flew through on that plane from the East Coast to the West Coast or from Philly down to Florida and looked down and saw nothing but open space. You don't think about that and you think, okay, conservation easement, that's a good idea. Well, then what'll happen is they'll take control of that land, and then they're going to start harassing you for anything you do on the remaining 1 acre, because you just gave them a 4-acre conservation easement. So then they're going to start harassing you over the things that you do, and they're going to make your life a living hell. Our taxes are funding our own enslavement through our federal agencies, through these non-governmental organizations I was just talking about, the Audubon Society, Sierra Club, American Planning Association, National Teachers Association, the United States Chamber of Commerce, and we all thought they were on our side. Listen, this is Mussolini's fascism. These people think that musical chairs is now the game that's being played and that they're going to have a seat at the table when the music stops. But if you remember what Lenin said about useful idiots, these people are useful idiots because the true goal of these globalists is that there will be a handful of ruling elite and everybody else will be a serf. And these useful idiots who helped advance this agenda will be on the outside looking in right along with all the rest of us. A lot of the tax-exempt family foundations, which I used to watch PBS all the time, and I'd watch the animal shows, and I would think, oh, wow, you know, Ford sponsored this. Aren't they benevolent? It's so wonderful. Carnegie and Rockefeller, and look at that. They spent their money so I could see this wonderful nature program. Well, little did I know what the real game was here with the whole tax-exempt foundation. In 1913, when tax-exempt foundation status was created, it was created so that these globalists, Rockefeller, Carnegie, Gates, Packard, Rothschild, and others, it was created so that they could bury their money and never have to pay taxes on it, because at that same time in 1913, that's when the IRS was created, and they didn't want to have to pay taxes, so they thought of this scam of tax-exempt foundations so they'd still have control of their money. They would just take it out of the left pocket where they would have had to pay taxes and put it into their tax-exempt foundation on the right side. They still control the game. Oh, sure, they spend a few bucks having these nature programs on PBS so I can watch them, but they still control their money. We spend $100 billion annually. They want to spend at least that by 2020 through a green fund. Their whole goal is to reduce so-called greenhouse gas by 17% below 2005 levels by 2020, and their goal for 2050 is there will be zero carbon emissions. See, one of the things that these people fail to realize is that carbon is what makes life is carbon. Carbon is life. And plants grow. The higher the carbon levels, the more prolific nature becomes. And it's that whole cycle. You know what? The trees give off oxygen after they've taken in carbon dioxide. It's called photosynthesis. You and I breathe out, and the trees suck it in, and they make oxygen. So the whole process is a naturally occurring event. Life would not exist without carbon. So, but it's a con, and people fall for these cons. And these are the people who created this con. The goal is a world system financially controlled in private hands to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world controlled by central banks. Yep. So now in 1913, when the tax-exempt foundations were created and the IRS was created so that these guys wouldn't pay taxes, that's when the Federal Reserve Bank was created in this country. The Federal Reserve Bank is a private corporation owned by Rockefeller, Rothschilds, Warburg, Schiff, Mellon, Snyder, Mirabeau, Those people then and their descendants and a few of their cronies are the ones who control the game all over the world. They own the central bank. See, what they did was they got together on an island off the coast of Georgia called Jekyll Island in 1913. And these guys came up with the greatest con ever. They said, well, how can we dupe the U.S. government into letting us print their money for them, and in exchange, they'll pay us interest for the privilege of printing their own money. Now, if I was able to print money, what do I need to pay you to do it for?
Mayor.
You don't. But this is the con they came up with. And of course, Woodrow Wilson was the president then, and he was in bed with these jokers. And so they passed this on December 23rd, kind of like how that whole health care bill was passed. You know, everybody had gone home for the holidays, and there were only a handful of people left. And so they shoved this Federal Reserve Bank bill through in 1913. And so they controlled the money supply here in this country. And I think it was Thomas Jefferson who warned about central banks. See, they had already dealt with what happened with the power brokers of the world. So they knew. And in their brilliance, they drew up the founding documents of this country because they had experienced all these different things. And they were warning us. The problem with America is we failed to learn from the past.
Right.
We failed to listen. And so now those war drums that were on the horizon of an impending war, those drums are beating louder. Because these people who are beating those war drums, they're much closer. As I said when I started, the carriage Cinderella is in is about ready to turn back to the pumpkin. It's 1 second to midnight. These people are way ahead of us. They've been at this for decades. We're all just getting into the fight. But my goal is to gather soldiers for this coming battle. This isn't the time to sit on the sidelines. This is the time to get active. Because it's a do or die, exactly. Because you've got two choices. You can stand on your feet or you're going to die on your knees, but you're going to do one or the other. So the Federal Reserve Bank was created in 1913. In 1921, the Council on Foreign Relations was created. It was a front group for J.P. Morgan. The members direct U.S. policy using membership in the Council on Foreign Relations as cover. If you look at any of the presidents, you're going to see that the people they surround themselves with are all people who belong to the Council on Foreign Relations, and they are hand-picked people who work for the people who control the game, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Morgans, so on and so forth. These people are at the pinnacle of power in all industry, in our government, in finance, in media. They've taken over our religious institutions. The Pope is pushing a green agenda. They control the media. That's why nobody ever hears about this. Because if I own the media, you're going to write in my paper or air on my television station what I want you to hear. That's why you don't know this stuff. Some of these people who are involved, General Electric, and I always said that Jeffrey Immelt sleeps with Michelle and Barack. Federal Express, Chrysler, Christian Science Monitor, Shell, Money Magazine, Dow Jones, you name it, they're in bed, they're pushing this agenda. In 1919, the League of Nations was created, but it didn't work out too well. Why? Because the people then still had an understanding of their foundational documents and how it was imperative not to be friends with all countries, but to not have an allegiance with none and to not create an international governing body. So the League of Nations went away, but these people then came up in 1945 with the United Nations. Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller, had given the land for the UN building in New York. He gave it for the building of the UN. Why? Because they own the UN. This is their game. In 1954, the Bilderberger Group was created, and why they call it Bilderberger is because the first place they ever met was at a hotel named Bilderberger. This isn't fantasy, this is real. Because they own the media, that's why you've been lied to for years and convinced to think anytime anybody tells you this stuff, don't listen. Conspiracy theory, nut job, tinfoil hat, because they own the media, and that's what the media has told you to think. In 1968, they created the Club of Rome, and their objective was environmental stuff, and that's when they coined the phrase sustainable development. In 1973, the Trilateral Commission was created, and their objective was political objectives, and that was created by Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski, and he worked for Carter. I can't remember what his title was, but he was a big shot in his administration. These have been created and guided by David Rockefeller. In 1979, Barry Goldwater warned in his book With No Apology that the Trilateral Commission would control political, monetary, intellectual, and ecclesiastical things in this world, and he wasn't lying. He was telling us the truth, but he was painted as a nut job, so nobody listened. In 1963, they got together at Iron Mountain because they wanted to come up with a way that they could control the people, because fear has always been a great motivator, and fear of war has worked tremendously. So they were thinking of using UFOs or the poor people as how they would manipulate people. And then they decided that the better way to do it would be to use the environment. They would use pollution. And how many of you remember seeing that commercial they played in the 70s of the Native American sitting astride a horse with a tear rolling down his cheek as the garbage went down the river? And of course, weren't we all believing then? Because in the 70s, it was a new ice age was coming. And then in the 80s, there was a hole in the ozone layer. Don't you remember? We got rid of our spray deodorants, you got rid of hairspray, you got rid of all the aerosol crap. And now in the 90s, and in this century, it's global warming. No, wait, it's global cooling. No, it's climate change. Exactly. Because these people are master manipulators, and they will change the words that they use whenever it is necessary to continue to advance their agenda. In 1969, that's when the National Environmental Policy Act passed. In 70, clean air. 72, clean water. 1973, the Endangered Species Act. In 1972, the Club of Rome published its Limits to Growth, which called for a limit to the population, a control of all development to achieve sustainable development. They have taken over all of our institutions. Education, the purpose of civics and social studies is not to teach history, but rather to indoctrinate the student to become good global citizens. They use manipulation techniques. They use techniques from Bloom and Kinsey and Skinner. And how many remember B.F. Skinner and Pavlov's dog, where he'd ring the bell and the dog would salivate because they manipulated the dog, just as they manipulate every one of us and have heretofore in this room. This is what they do to kids in a classroom. In 1967, the National Education Association, funded by Rockefeller and Carnegie Foundation, was created. In 76, a Declaration of Interdependence and Education for Global Citizenship was coined. Chapter 25 of UN Agenda 21 says that they need to enlist and empower children and youth in reaching for sustainability. They use what's called Hegel's dialectic. Hegel was a philosopher in around 1820. And what Hegel's dialectic is they really play one group against the other to achieve a new outcome. It's a framework for guiding your thoughts and actions into conflicts that will lead to a predetermined solution. They use what's called dialogues, and consensus buildings are the primary tools of the dialectic, but they also use terror and intimidation. So isn't global warming, isn't that a way they'll terrorize you into thinking, oh no, the sky is falling. You know, if we don't stop driving our car, the polar bears are all going to die. Haven't you seen the polar bear floating on that iceberg? So what these people do is they create the problem. Global warming, global cooling, climate change, and then they offer an outrageous solution.
Can you give us another example of a problem reaction solution?
They offer an outrageous solution, which of course you're not going to go for, not immediately, like, oh no, the polar bears are all dying, give up your car. You say, no, I'm not going to do that. You resist. So then they'll offer a compromise solution. And so you say, well, maybe I'll go along with that. So what they have is the problem, which is the thesis in Hegel's terms. Then they have the opposite of the problem, the antithesis. which is the Thank you. Synthesis. And then they have the thesis, the antithesis, and then they're combined together to form this synthesis, which then becomes a new problem. And then the new problem, then they offer a new outrageous solution, which you won't go for, and then they'll offer another solution in the middle, and you say, oh, well, that won't be so bad. And then that new solution becomes another problem with another opposite, and then they'll offer another. And it's like they're guiding a school of fish to achieve their objective. Right. See, if I said to you right now, you can't drive your car anymore, you'd say, well, wait a second, no. But if I make it so difficult for you to get to work on 422 and you're in a traffic jam every day for 2 hours, you're going to say, wait a second, maybe I'll take the light rail. Maybe light rail isn't such a bad idea after all. Maybe I'll take the bus. Well, I could read a book while I ride the bus. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad. See, they're forcing you through this manipulation to go along with what they want you to do. So they're creating the problem. They offer an outrageous solution. Give up your car, and you won't do that. But they're going to manipulate you into it one way or another. Things you can do. You need to educate yourself. Nobody needs to be a Rhodes Scholar, and Rhodes was an evil human being anyway, so anybody who's a Rhodes Scholar, believe me, that's no thing to be thrilled about anymore. Educate yourself. Teach others what you've learned everywhere you go. There's handouts we put out on the table here, and there's one that if you want that, there's the plan of action, the same things that are up here on the PowerPoint, you can use. There's another one here, what you don't know about, thank you, what you don't know about sustainable development will hurt you. I have that in PDF form if you want to get in touch with me. My website is actually on this list of websites that was already put out on the table for you. It's the first one, and my email address is at the bottom. Get in touch with me. I will give you this handout so you can hand this out everywhere you go. I give it out to people all the time, wherever I am, because it's information. It's some bullet points. It's some shocking bullet points. It'll maybe, hopefully, have people pause and think, wait a second, what's going on here? I'm not going to be able to eat meat. I'm not going to be able to have air conditioning. Maybe they're going to stop and think, well, maybe I should think about this. You need to go to all your local meetings. You need to raise hell. You need to make noise. You can't let these people manipulate you and try to intimidate you like they did she and I, and mock us out and laugh at us and think we're, you know, just nut jobs and conspiracy theorists, which is what they did. You need to find the backbone, that Nikki Rapana, who I mentioned in the beginning, who lives in a tent in Alaska. You need to find the spine she has, because if you don't, you will die a slave. I guarantee you that. This is not the time to think, oh, I go to a meeting once a month and I've contributed and done my patriotic duty. I got news for you. This is the time to get up off the chair, get up off the couch, and get active every single day of your life, because it is critical. I say you need to run for office. Listen, stop relying on these schmucks that we've elected heretofore and think that they're the answer to life's problems, because they're not. I mentioned George Bush, Republican, is involved with this. Bill Clinton, Democrat. It is not a Democrat-Republican issue, because they have both been pushing this agenda. They are in bed together. What I say to people is the Democrats are the left hand and the Republicans are the right hand, and they are connected to the same body. We have been fooled by their manipulation techniques to think that there was a difference. There is a difference in the ideology, but there is no difference in the people who are pushing this agenda. You need to go to local boards, school boards, water, zoning, planning. You need to get on those boards. You need to go there. You need to find out what they're doing, because what they're doing is they are implementing zoning changes and code changes to force you into this program here. It's happening everywhere. The Delaware Valley Regional Planning Authority is the local metropolitan planning organization for this 9-county area. And all of the counties in it and the townships are all getting information from them how they need to change their zoning and code and that to force you into this. They're going to make your life a living hell. I've had people on my radio show. A guy was fined $5,000 for not cutting his grass for 5 days down in Florida. They've driven people off their land. By hook or crook, they are doing this all across the country. I'll be with you in a second. You need to understand what each person that's elected is supposed to be doing. The Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, no one elected any of those people on that board. But they are making all kinds of decisions that affect your life. You need to go to these meetings. You need to go to all of them. You need to print and pass out handouts. You need to tell elected officials to refuse to take federal money to implement or state money to implement this agenda, because that's the character dangling that makes this happen. Listen, we can live without federal money. You want to be free or do you want to be a slave? You don't need to believe a single thing that I said here tonight. I want you to find out for yourself whether or not I was telling you the truth. Look it up. There's a list of websites there. Go to all of them. Start to do the research. Find out whether or not what I've said to you tonight is one big gigantic lie, or it's the worst nightmare you've ever experienced. And I got news for you, you're not asleep. You can make a difference. Okay. Throughout history, the people who have made a difference, one person who's made a difference in the world. Think about that. We can all think of examples of that. You have everything it takes to run for any office. You've got all of it, all of it. You don't need to be somebody special. You don't need to be a great orator. You don't need to be young. You don't need to be pretty. You don't need to be skinny. You don't need to be anything. All you need to do is be an individual who wants freedom and liberty and believes that the foundational documents of this country were the greatest ever created, and they were created for one sole reason: to keep you free. That's all you need. Please get involved. There's some other great speakers going to speak after me, so thank you everybody for coming.